Pastor George here. I wanted to take a second and thank you for checking out our online messages. Our prayer is that this resource will challenge you, encourage you, and empower you as you dig deeper in your relationship with Christ. But in no way will it replace God's plan for your active involvement in a local church. I do want to take a second and ask you to prayerfully consider, as you participate and listen to this resource, partnering with Revive as we pursue our mission of seeing people live their fullest life in Christ. You can do this by going online to revivechurchga.com/give and making a one-time donation or setting up a recurring gift. It's through the generosity of others that we're able to provide a resource like this one. With that being said, I do want to thank you again, and here is today's message. Happy New Year. Crazy start to it, right? It's actually my first time preaching in 2025. We gathered for the special service at the beginning of the year. Then we had the snow day, and now we're here with all the events this morning. But we're rocking and rolling. And I'm excited about the new year, but there's something, and I'm excited to worship corporately, even with all the distractions, but there's something about the new year that always kind of prompts a future focus. You guys with me on that? Like, even if you don't set New Year's resolutions, like, there's this idea that the calendar has turned over. Now there's something about it that makes us think about the future. Now, some people set New Year's resolutions. Anybody in here have any resolutions? Don't be ashamed if you didn't. You don't have to raise your hand, but not many, right? So the Pew Research did a study and found that actually the majority of people that set New Year's resolutions are young adults. So if you shook your head, you're probably not a young adult anymore. Hate to break it to you. Time has caught up with us, okay? But whether you set New Year's resolutions or not, that same study showed that most people at some point begin to think about the future. Maybe the future year, maybe they're like next 5 years, whatever. There's something about the turning over of a calendar that prompts a future focus. Now, I don't know what about it that makes us do that, but there is some common thoughts, some common goals, some common focuses as we look toward the future. Can you guys guess what those are? Come on, talk to me. What do you think are some of the most common goals or New Year's resolutions at the turn of the new year? Weight loss, yeah. What else? The first two guesses, you nailed it. Health and wealth, right? Health and wealth revolve around the majority of these goals. And I think that these are great goals. But we have to be careful because the goal in itself doesn't mean we accomplish it in good means, right? Because if being wealthy is just reaching a certain dollar amount, if being wealthy is just making more money or having that certain nest egg in the savings, if being wealthy is just about money, then it doesn't matter about integrity. If it's just about money, it doesn't matter what corners you cut in the way to get there. It doesn't matter what relationships you break, what bridges you burn. As long as you get that dollar amount, you've reached your goal. So we can't define wealth as just monetary value. But health is about weight loss, right? If we can just get skinnier. But if health is just defined by a number on the scale, then who cares if you develop an eating disorder along the way? Who cares? Who cares if you have to throw up after every meal as long as you're losing weight? Or better yet, what if you're losing weight and it's unexplained? At least you're losing weight. Or what if that's a leading sign of cancer? People are all excited when people start losing weight, but they never ask, are you healthy in your weight loss? So we can't let the ends justify the means in which we get there. I have some books that I like to read, and one of the main tenets of these books is journey before destination. Because the person, the character that you develop along the way is more important than the goal that you reach. When we're thinking about our future, when we're thinking about becoming a new person, when we're thinking about reaching these goals, what we have to realize is it matters how we get there. In some of my personal reading last year, I came across the story of Daniel. And I don't know if you've ever read the book of Daniel, but he's kind of famous for the dreams and things that he has at the end of the book. And these dreams are kind of apocalyptic, and people think about what could they mean, and they tie them in with Revelation. It gets really deep. But if you read the first six chapters, you kind of get the story of Daniel climbing the ladder, right? And so as Daniel's climbing the ladder, we see all these different things happen. In fact, when you hear me talk about Daniel, what's the first story that we think of? The lion's den, right? Daniel's in the lion's den. And this is a fascinating story. But what's more interesting to me is how Daniel gets there. I read his story and I thought, man, I may not be skilled like he is skilled. I might not have the same anointing that he had, but I want his character. If you go and you read the Daniel story, it's amazing because we see that though he's thrown into the lion's den, he is not destroyed. By the power of God, he is not devoured, but instead he is delivered. But that's not what strikes me most about his story. What strikes me most about that story in the lion's den isn't even Daniel. It's King Darius, the guy that throws him in there. If you go and you read that the Daniel 6, you get this picture, all right? You've got Daniel who has climbed to the top. He's kind of King Darius's second-hand man. Darius has taken over for Belshazzar. Now, you don't know that name because he reigned for a very small amount of time, but Belshazzar took over for Nebuchadnezzar. You've probably heard his name. Nebuchadnezzar is one of the most famous kings and emperors, godlike beings in all of history, right? And he's the one that throws Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire. That's Nebuchadnezzar, right? And so Nebuchadnezzar, he has this dream, and he's scared. He's like, what does this dream mean? So he goes to his wise men and he says, wise men, can you please tell me what my dream was and then interpret it? See, he's smart. He's like, if I tell you the dream, you can wing it. And how do I know if you're being honest? But if you could tell me what my dream was without me telling you and then you interpret it, I know you're being real. And guess what? None of them could tell him his dream. None of them were able to answer his question. And being a king who thought he was a god, he said, kill all of them. He puts them all to, he's gonna, I'm putting them all to death. If they can't be my wise men and they can't give me these answers, what is their purpose? But you see, there's these other Judeans who Babylon took them over. And they didn't just want to conquer them. They wanted to assimilate them into Babylonian culture. So they take these ones that are showing potential, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. And he says, let's assimilate them with some others into our culture so that they begin to look like us. So that we're not only conquering them, but they are becoming us. All of Judea will be just like Babylonian by this process. And so there's this leader. He comes to Daniel. He's like, hey, Daniel. So Daniel has been assimilated into this culture. And then king's people are coming. They're like, hey, we're putting all these people to death. And Daniel's like, no, don't do that. Let me go and pray and ask my God. So he goes to God and God tells him what the dream was and then tells him how to interpret it. So Daniel has now proven himself. He saves all the wise men and he begins to climb this ladder. And over again, we see that Daniel has in fact proven himself to be vital to each and every king. So now Darius takes over. He takes over for Belshazzar, who was slain in the night because he refused to acknowledge that he was placed in his ruling by God. And so he's slain in the night. Darius takes over. And he does this. He's like, okay, I'm doing a reorg. All right, we're changing the way that the command structure. We're going to make this kingdom more efficient. Things are going to be rolling. First thing I got to do is I got to have some leaders who can lead the people. Let me take Daniel and place him in charge. He's proven himself for three different kings now, and he's proven himself a leader and that to have impact on kingdoms. So I'm going to take him and I'm going to place him in charge. So he does that, and the kingdom, everything begins to roll. Things are going smoothly. Daniel's doing his job. He's prospering. And there's some guys that are like, you know what? We want to be the second-hand man. We want to have the power, but they don't care about their character. So they don't care what means they get there, and they decide they're going to have to get rid of our boy Daniel. So they devise this plan to go to Darius, and they start by stroking his ego. Okay, hey, King Darius, you know, man, look at your shoes. Man, look at that crown. You have got to go. You know, you are the man. In fact, you're more than a man. You are a god. And King Darius is like, you know what? I think I am. All right, well, why don't you pass this law, put this law into an edict into law that anybody who worships anything or anyone other than you should be thrown into the lion's den. And King Darius, being the humble leader he is, says, you know what? I think you're right. So he passes this law, and he doesn't just pass it. He enforces it with all these other people around him so that even if he were to change his mind, he can't reverse it. He's like, I'm so certain that I'm God that we're going to make this a thing, and everybody's going to worship me. And you know the story. Daniel goes into his room. He begins to pray when he hears this noise. They hear this news. These guys walk in. They catch Daniel praying. They take him to the king, and the king is heartbroken. I want to read the king's reaction when he finds this out. And this is chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. Then they replied to the king, Daniel, one of the Judean exiles, has ignored you. The king has ignored you, the king, and the edict you signed, for he prays three times a day. And as soon as the king heard this, he was very displeased. And he set his mind on rescuing Daniel and made every effort until sundown to deliver him. This king, who was so convinced he was a god, realized that the decisions he made were wrong. He had regret, and he wanted to change his mind. And the thing that made him change was not some powerful being, but it was a man with incredible character who changed this king's mind who thought he was a god. We read on in verses 17 and 18, it says, a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring with the signet ring of his nobles, so that nothing in regard to Daniel could be changed. Then the king went to his palace and he spent the night fasting. No diversions, no entertainment, no way of distracting himself. He spent the night fasting and thinking about Daniel alone. Anything that could have broken his attention on Daniel was done away with. He could not even sleep. This king, who thought himself God, he could have any entertainment in the world. He could avoid any negative thoughts or emotions he wanted to by bringing in any kind of distraction. But he chose instead to go to his room, hungry, fasting, with no diversions, so that he could think about Daniel. He chose to suffer because he was so in awe of Daniel, both his character and his skill set. Daniel was more than a survivor of lions. He was a man whose character alone humbled a king who thought himself God. Daniel was a man. How many of you have ever heard of the Daniel fast? You guys ever heard of the Daniel fast? A lot of people will start it kind of at the beginning of the year and do like a 21-day fast. Laura and I tried this fast one time, and it was we didn't make it. Okay, it is a very difficult fast because there's no sugar, there's no meat, and that alone counts me out, right? It's like straight vegetables for 21 days. Absolutely not. Okay, we tried it, we failed. But this comes out of the beginning of Daniel. Daniel is so committed to his character and to following Jesus no matter what that he's been brought in, as we were talking about, he's been brought in to be assimilated. And so the king is like, all these people are coming in. I want them to be healthy. I want them to be well fed. I don't want them to be scrawny. I need them to have some of the king's meat, have some of the king's treasures, eat from the king's menu. And so he's having all these people that have been brought in, are being raised up he wants them to feast. And Daniel's like, we have these eating restrictions. I do not want to break that. Bring us just vegetables. Bring us just these things. And that's where the Daniel fast comes from, right? And the guy is like, no, I can't do that. Because if all these other people are getting nice and plump and you and your boys are getting scrawny and barely hanging on because you're fasting, the king's going to have my head removed. And Daniel's like, no, my God will be with us. Trust me. Let's just see how it goes for the first however many days. And from there, we'll move forward. And sure enough, even though Daniel and his boys are all on this limited diet, they gain and prosper more than those who are feasting on the king's menu. He is so committed to character and trusting God that even his diet improves his lifestyle. He's not willing to break his diet. He interprets these dreams. He's a Judean who is leading Babylonians. He is a man that impacts an entire kingdom. People who weren't even following his king, following his God, obeyed his God's commands because of how Daniel lived. When we're thinking about our future, we're thinking about the people that we want to become, who we want to be at the end of this year, or at the end of next year. When we're thinking about how we become who God wants us to be, we should be thinking about Daniel. That's what true health and wealth looks like. It's about being more, having a character, and that the means do not justify the ends. So how did Daniel become this man? How did he become a man with such keen character? How did he become a man that even though he was Judean and he was not like all these other people, that he was impacting this kingdom? I have two verses for you. Verses 16 and verse 10. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you continually serve, rescue you." Whom you continually serve, despite the fact that it will cost your life, despite the fact that others are trying to trap you, despite the fact that you're going to be thrown in the lion's den, you continually serve. When Daniel learned that the document had been signed, he went into his house. The windows in its upstairs room opened toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed and gave thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Just as he had done before. Yes, they knew they could trap Daniel because they knew that no matter what, over and over again, he was going to show up to his prayer time. He was going to show up to seek God. This series that we're starting that's now been shrunk down to two weeks is called Show Up, because it is about the one thing that I believe can change our lives, and that is consistency. Daniel is consistently seeking the face of his God. He is consistently seeking God in prayer and devotion. Daniel showed up time and time again. Despite his motivation, despite his circumstances, despite how he felt, he constantly sought the Lord. Listen, you guys know that I've been on this health journey, right? Trying to lose weight and get healthy. And this is the biggest thing that has changed me, is consistency. In my life, I have gained and lost the same 30 pounds about five times, right? I get up to a certain weight and I'm like, oh no, this is too much. And I lose that 30 pounds. I'm like, okay. And then I go back. I've never been consistent with it. But in April of last year, I surrendered some things to Jesus and decided that I was going to consistently seek him. So consistently, whenever I found temptation rising up, whenever I felt the urge to give in, whenever I felt the urge to throw in the towel, I would seek God. And this is the biggest difference maker. God has done a work in me, and I have consistently sought him throughout this journey. Now, I'm still in the thick of it and still have a ways to go. But for 9 months, I have been operating in a calorie deficit. 9 months. Now, listen, it hasn't been every day. I ate Stevie B's last night, okay? It's fine. And not every day is perfect. But when I look at those 9 months, most of them have been in a deficit. And the only way that I've been able to do that is because God has changed me. He has done this work. Never in my life have I had self-control when it comes to food. Never. But God has changed me consistently since June. For 7 months, 3 days a week, I've gone to the gym. And the result of this consistent change has been 70 pounds lost in a healthy way. And it has nothing to do with me, but to a work that God has done in me. There are some days when I go to the gym and I don't have enough time or I don't want to, and I will literally work out for 20 minutes. Just to make sure that I'm being consistent, because that's what matters. This is getting into next week a little bit, okay? But there's this consistency is what makes the difference. If you go to the gym for a week, it doesn't matter. Just like if you brush your teeth for 4 hours on Monday, it doesn't mean you get to skip it for the rest of the week, all right? It is a consistent, over and over again, doing this process that makes the change. Daniel sought the Lord as he had always done. Daniel served God continually. It's consistency that makes the big change. It's consistency that develops our character. It's showing up time and time again. So how's your consistency? If you have two seeds from the same lot, both the same seeds placed in the same soil, and you water one consistently, giving it the sunlight and nutrition it needs every day, and the second seed gets some water on Sunday, sometimes on Monday, forgot about till Friday, and then receives a flood on Saturday, which seed is going to grow into the mighty oak? Which seed is going to develop into the tree that it is designed to be? The problem is that second seed makes up most of our lives. We're here in our fits and our starts, our burst of energy, our burst of motivation, always followed by valleys of procrastination. We're trying to accomplish our goals, our dreams, our callings, the same way the second seed is trying to grow. Listen to me. The enemy of your future is not failure. That's what so many of us, we never even attempt the things that God has called on our life because we're afraid we're going to fall short. We're afraid we're going to mess up. We're afraid it's not going to be good enough. We're afraid we're going to fail. But we all know the saying, if at first you don't succeed, you're normal. Nobody succeeds on the first time. I remember my first day in the gym, there's these two machines. I had no idea how to work them, right? And I was sitting on one kind of sideways because I knew what muscle was supposed to be working, but it wasn't happening. And I was like, this is not, I just cringe thinking about how I looked in there because I failed at this machine. So I had to open up my phone and look at Google and YouTube and figure out how to use it. And there was just one thing I had to move to make it right. So the first day I was in there, it was terrible. The next time I went in there, I made that adjustment, and now I use that machine twice a week because it is my favorite machine. I absolutely looked dumb and failed the first time through. But the saying continues, try and try again, because it's not failure that is the enemy. It is the giving up. It is not being consistent. It is not going. The enemy of your future is not failure. The enemy of your future is inconsistency. Tony Evans says it like this, the devil doesn't need to destroy you, he only needs to distract you. Think about it. It doesn't matter how gifted, how talented, how anointed you may be, if you are not consistent, you will never reach your full potential. Daniel, obviously a natural born leader, obviously had all the skills he needed to accomplish what he did. He had the people skills. He had the mind, the intelligence to lead organizations. He checked all the boxes to be a dynamic leader, but he would have never been in the position he was to impact kingdoms if he had not consistently sought the Lord. If he had not interpreted that dream, he would have never been in the position he was in. You must be consistent. And this is the most important area of consistency. It's in seeking God. You can have your goals and you have to seek those goals consistently, but if you don't start with seeking him consistently, the other ones will not fall into place. The following Jesus and seeking God is the first domino that has to fall, that will cause all of the other ones to fall. And we will look next week, we'll look at some biblically based tips on how we can accomplish consistency. But for this week, I want to look at this insight that we get from Daniel's story. The reason being consistent with Christ is the most important is because being consistent with him allows us to fix our eyes on him. Consistency is not just doing the same thing over and over again. It's about becoming a new person. It is easier for us to remain consistent when we see the consistency of our Creator. This is where I want to close. If it is easier for us to remain faithful when we are fixated on His faithfulness, God's faithfulness is what allows us to remain consistent. It starts with him and the work he does in us. When we stop and fixate on God's faithfulness, we see that he is the most consistent thing in all of creation, in all of the universe. He has always been, never created. He is never ending, never changing, always there. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. When we are consistently gazing upon the face of God, we are reminded of the forgiveness and the provision that he gave Adam and Eve. We're reminded of the deliverance that he provided to Noah. We are reminded of the promise that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When we fixate on the consistency and the faithfulness of God, we see that even though Job lost everything, God was near. Even though Jonah ran to the depths of the sea, God was faithful. When the Israelites were running for their life, God parted the Red Sea. At the sound of Paul's voice, the gates of his prison opened up. Captives are set free. That even though God's people lost their way over and over again and ended up in exile, he was with them and brought them back. We serve a God who is always faithful despite times when we lack faithfulness. We serve a God that even though we turned our back on him and chose to worship self instead of him, chose to worship creation rather than the creator, he did not give up on us. We serve a God that saw his creation marred. He saw us broken. He saw us lost and in the dark. So he stepped down out of heaven and came to earth and experienced the worst that we could throw at him. Dying on the cross, put there by humanity, so that we do not have to remain in our brokenness. We serve a God that has consistently remained faithful throughout the entirety of history. Yes, the secret to our success is consistency, but it's not just any consistency. It's consistently seeking the Lord, fixing our eyes on him. When I find myself wanting to skip prayer, skip church, skip scripture, when I find myself wanting to gratify the desires of flesh, if I can just stop for 1 second and ponder the faithfulness of our Creator God, I find myself with the strength to press forward consistently. Do you have goals? Do you have plans? Do you have desires? Do you have a calling on your life? How is your consistency? Are we showing up? If the answer to that is no, no, or even sometimes, I believe the solution is simple but not easy. We must fix our eyes on Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek his face. Surrender to him. Ask him to do a new work in you. God has shown up time and time again. Let us do the same. Let's pray.